Welcome to the New Books Network.
Will needed perspective, and flying afforded an outlook that walking around could not. He hustled across the Flying W airfield, sweat soaking through the back of his shirt. It was a busy Saturday afternoon, but today he didn't stop to talk with the other pilots he passed. When he got to the plane, Will flung his flight bag onto the tarmac and slammed his hand into the door. That stopped him. His palm throbbed. This is G.P. Gottlieb, host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today, I'm talking to D.J. Green about her lovely debut novel, No More Empty Spaces. It takes place mostly in the 1970s in a remote area of Turkey where engineering geologist Will Ross has been hired to analyze the foundation of a new dam that is not working properly. He's brought his three children to Turkey, even though he shares custody with their mother, who's let them go in exchange for continuing to receive alimony and child support. Will presents his new job as an adventure, and his three children get the benefit of a fascinating multicultural education. Hi, Deb. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Galit. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I have so many questions. First of all, what triggered you to write a story about an engineering geologist?
I was inspired to write No More Empty Spaces to find the essence of the truth, maybe even you could say a truer truth, if you will, of my late husband. And Will Ross is loosely based on him. But as I wrote into the story, Will became more himself and less the person he was based on. And there was just so much more to explore as well as I wrote. So like families, which is always a rich vein to be mined, if you want to use a geological metaphor there, and how we define progress. And is progress always as positive as we'd like to think it is? So yeah, that was the inspiration. And then the project took on a life of its own.
Wow, I am so sorry for your loss. Will has a very sad backstory, mostly about his mother not caring what he did, but she's proud when he joins the Marines. Can you say more about that?
Yes,
about Will?
Certainly. Will, he does have what many of us would consider to be a really difficult and sad childhood. And he doesn't see it that way, actually. Will sees what he went through as a kid as the thing that shaped him into who he is. And he likes himself pretty well and is pretty confident in himself. And he thinks the fact that he was left a lot on his own and to fend for himself, and that he did that from quite a young age, he sees that as a source of strength for himself. So he doesn't see it as a liability.
Okay. Hayakale, Turkey is where most of the story takes place. Is it based on a real, I know it's not a real place, but is it based on a real dam? And how did you research building a dam in Turkey?
Well, I had a lot of information, and I understand a lot of that information because in addition to being a writer, I am a semi-retired environmental and engineering geologist. So I do understand the process behind that. And certainly in all the writing I did, my thought was that all my geology colleague readers should feel that all the geology and engineering and the work that is done in that vein was all plausible, even though some of this is fictional. And it is based on the Eastern Anatolian projects, which there were many, many dams built on the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in the 60s and 70s. And Kayakale Dam is modeled after those dams.
And are those dams still functioning despite Turkey's pulling away from the world community in some sense?
Absolutely, they are, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as I know, anyway, yeah.
So you're saying there was international cooperation back in the 1970s in Turkey.
Absolutely. And in fact, around the world in the 60s, 70s, and maybe I'd say it probably eased off some in the 80s, where there were engineers and geologists, usually Americans and Brits, who worked all over the world developing these huge projects in countries that didn't necessarily have a deep bench of the expertise that was needed to make these projects work. And I think that has shifted as more of these countries around the world have their own engineers and their own geologists and their own geophysicists, et cetera, et cetera. So there's less international reliance on Americans and Brits, but during that time, there was a lot of work that I think specifically American and Brits were doing around the world.
I thought one of the themes of the book was about self-control and the lack thereof. For example, everybody had their job to do, and it wasn't arguing about it. Everybody pulled together to get things done, but also the lack of control, because both the children's mother and Will, as brilliant and capable as he is, turn out to be alcoholic. How did you happen to write about two alcoholics?
I think that, well, first of all, thank you for seeing those different themes in the book. It makes me feel like I did my job as a writer. And I think that dams are real and literal, and they're also incredible metaphors for what we hold back and then what happens when dams break. And how out of control things can get in times like that. And I think that alcoholism is very complex, and I think in our culture we handle it or we think about it in maybe not as complex a way as it should be. I think we have a tendency to either be in denial about it. When people are high functioning alcoholics, we can just pretend it's not there. And then when the dam breaks, we have no choice but to look at it full on. But I think in those cases, we have a tendency to demonize both alcoholism and the alcoholic. And I just think it's much more complex than that because people aren't just alcoholics. They're professionals and their parents and their children and their siblings. And I think I wanted people to think about the complexities a little bit more, not only about alcoholism, but about that work that Will was doing as well as a professional, and about what was happening in their family.
The children are each distinct in how they accept the move to Turkey. Each really, you did a great job of bringing each one out, even though Dee Dee is so little that she's just adorable. And Rob is just being with a friend is the most important thing in his life. But Kevin stands out. He's like a loner. He spends a huge amount of time walking, taking pictures, and drawing. He's just a wonderful character. Can you say more?
Kevin is, I fell in love with him too. And I remember actually walking out in the desert. I live in New Mexico and I hike a lot. And I was walking out in the desert and kind of interviewing him in my head. And I really fell in love with him. And I think he's a really introspective young man. And he took on a lot of responsibility as a teenager for when his mother was struggling with alcoholism, and he was kind of holding everything together for his younger brother and especially his very young sister. And he stepped up and he did that. And it wasn't easy for him, and it was a lot of responsibility for a 15-year-old to take on. And so once he was in Turkey, and that the stress of his mother's alcoholism was not front and center for him, I think it gave him some time and space to explore who he really was and to just take walks with his dog and explore the art that he was interested in. So it was really, I feel like I grew as a writer as Kevin grew as a character, and it was lovely to explore that journey with him.
Will you introduce Paula? Wow, to be that adventurous. She's 28 years old, already living in another country on her own in the 70s.
Yeah, I and she was a purely, she's not based on anybody I know, except for little bits about her background, her childhood. But she's an adventurous soul, and she took the reins of her life by figuring out how to get an education. She signed on to almost like the ROTC is with the military. Her town, the little town she came from in West Virginia, was having a hard time keeping teachers. And the town sent her to college if she agreed to come back and teach for 4 years. So for every year she went to college, she gave a year teaching in the town. And after that, she decided she wanted to see the wider world and sought adventure and signed on with actually it's a real school. It's called the Calvert School, and they do distance learning. And when the dam site lost its English speaking teacher, they contracted with her, and she had, I think, as I recall, about a week or a week and a half's notice, and she packed up and moved around the world and taught the English speaking children at the dam site. And another character I love,
Loved
actually.
her, just loved her. Both Will and Paula come from unhappy homes. The implication being that unhappy people are quick to go on adventures while happy people are okay staying home. What do you think?
Well, I never thought about it quite that way. I hope that's not true. In real life, I consider myself pretty adventurous, and I think I came from a pretty happy childhood. So I don't think
Phew.
that's necessarily true. But maybe people who come from an unhappy childhood are a little more fearless about picking up and moving
Maybe.
because what's there to lose, maybe.
I love how disciplined Will is. He jumps out of bed, does his push-ups and sit-ups. Discipline is a bit of a theme in no more empty spaces. Why do you think that is?
That's probably a little bit of a projection of the author. Will did learn that in the Marines when he was a teen. He signed on with the US Navy attached to the Marines. He was a medic in Korea, and he had that kind of discipline instilled in him in the military. And he never stopped doing that. It was not something, he didn't have so much discipline as a child, although he did play high school sports. So his coaches and his drill sergeants and his mentors are the people who taught him how valuable discipline could be. And he saw value in that and kept that up in his life. And I think you could see that he actually made sure his children had that too, whether they kept that or not, in that some of his punishments were things like push-ups and running wind sprints.
I loved how he disciplined his kids in that way. That was a really funny part of it. He's just also such an interesting personality, Will. For example, when he figures out that some studies of the rocks are missing, why doesn't he raise a stink about it? How is he so self-controlled that he realizes it's not going to work? And what's going on there?
Well, there's some backstory there, and I think I may have dropped little bits of that in that it, even specifically in the first meeting he had with Gus Browning
Yes, you did.
in Ankara, where he's thinking what he really wants to say, and he's actually, I think he's in his late 30s when the book opens, and he's learned that sometimes saying exactly what you're thinking doesn't always get you exactly what you want. So he has learned some discretion over the years. He's been a working professional since his early to mid 20s. And so, he's learned some discretion and some self-control, at least in the realm of his professional life. But he will almost never, and I say that I'm going to be careful about spoiler alerts here, but he will almost never compromise the technical integrity of the work he's doing.
I had a lot of respect for him. At one point, he takes the kids camping and they see a large landslide complex that looks like it caused the failure of an earlier dam. It's sort of the mystery, part of this larger mystery that you will need to solve by the end of the book. What's going on there that you could tell us?
That is actually based on a landform that I saw in Turkey while I was traveling there above a failed Ottoman era dam. And it was quite a stunning slope. It looked like mounds of mashed potatoes with gravy sort of poured over it. And sometimes a landform will just speak to you that way. I mean, you could just see the sense of movement in it. You don't necessarily know what caused it. There are different things that could cause it. You didn't see it happen in real time, but the landforms, and I often say this about Will, is the thing that he does so well, and the best geologists that I've worked with and walked in the field with, is they just read the landscape in such a great way that it tells them the process that it went through to form the geomorphology you're looking at. And it's just fascinating to, and that's one of the fascinating things about doing geology, is you can physically be doing the same things on project after project. You can be mapping in the same way. You can be digging test pits and logging them in the same way. You can be drilling boreholes and logging the boreholes, logging the core in the same way. But everywhere you go, the geology is a new puzzle to put together, and it's fascinating. And I feel really lucky that I got to do it for more than 3 decades.
Kevin has a near-death experience that is so gripping and so I was gonna cry. It becomes clear that he's gonna be saved. And the first thing he thinks wants to know is what was the secret ingredient in the ice cream that they'd eaten. I would like to know if you actually experienced somebody having a near-death experience. And then asking a question about an ingredient. I loved it. I love this scene, by the way. So say more.
Thank you. And no, I did not experience that, but I did do research, both internet research, literary research, and talking with doctors about what someone might experience after a near drowning. And they did talk about that disorientation that can happen. And and a few days before, they had gone through Kahramanmaraş and eaten this wonderful ice cream, which I've had the privilege to do. It's quite amazing and ooey and gooey, and it's got this very unique texture and a lovely flavor. And I'm not exactly sure how that came in that whole part of the book flowed out of my pen very organically. It's probably one of the parts of the book that is the least rewritten of almost any part of the book. It just felt like very close to the first draft came out right.
Wow. Lovely, lovely book. Thank you so much. And tell me, what are you working on now?
I'm working on another novel. Its working title is Chances. And the very short description is that Chances is the story of a woman taking the helm of her life as she learns to command the helm of her sailboat.
Another sailing story. Okay. I like it. Thank you so much for joining me today, Deb. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you the best of luck and no more empty spaces.
Thank you so much, Khalid. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with your listeners today. And I hope they'll take a look at my website, look at the news and events page. I'll be touring and I would love to meet some of them. And my website is www.geologistwriter.com.
And thank you for joining me. Again, this is G.P. Gottlieb, author of the Whipped and Sipped Mystery Series and host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today, I've been talking to D.J. Green, author of No More Empty Spaces. Hope you all have a juicy novel to cuddle up with tonight and always. Happy reading.